Lately, we've been asking you, our listeners, what you want to know about the Granite State. It's part of our Only in New Hampshire series. And today, NHPR's Hannah McCarthy solves the mystery of an abandoned town and the people who vanished from it.
This question comes from listener Sammer, and it's a tricky one.
This is Sammer.
So, Sammer noticed that on the year 2000 U.S. Census, there were three people living in a town called Livermore, New Hampshire. But in the year 2010, they were gone. Sammer figured the residents must have died or moved out or
something where it was consumed within another town.
But one way or another, this place is now a ghost town.
The concept of ghost towns kind of interested me anyway.
So, Sammer's question? What happened to those three residents? I took the case. Natural first step, find Livermore on a map. And I did. It turns out it's in the middle of the White Mountain National Forest, up a long dirt road, narrow in places where the rivers washed it out. There are ruins, bricks crumbling into overgrown foundations, the odd bed frame or bank vault slowly becoming one with the forest.
Oh, cool, there's an old Pepsi can. Totally gonna get tetanus.
According to the records, this town was abandoned about 60 years ago. So how did three people end up on the year 2000 census? Well, I kind of figured it had to be a hoax.
That's not really how it works in terms of, the census has a list of addresses, you know, that they send forms to.
This is Ken Gallagher with the New Hampshire Office of Energy and Planning. He says that no one ends up on the census without an actual residence on a list. But how could someone have an address in a ghost town, in a national forest?
I would expect probably at least 10% of the land may well be privately owned.
As it turns out, there could still be a private parcel of land where the town of Livermore used to be. Time to talk to an historian.
My name is Peter Crane.
Peter Crane did his doctoral dissertation on Livermore in the early 90s. Back when the town was still a living memory, and he got firsthand accounts of life in the town.
It was quite an adventure, not just to explore the area and to explore it in documents, but also to explore it in the memories of folks who had firsthand experience with the town.
Livermore might be a collection of crumbling ruins now, but it had a good 50-year run. The town sprang up in the 1870s when two brothers launched a logging operation in the White Mountains. They built a town, a mill, and a railroad. Workers moved in and brought their families. The Saunders brothers, who founded the place, built a company store and then a school. And for a while, that town thrived, turning timber into lumber, lumber into cash. People were married, babies were born. By 1900, the population hit around 200. But then things started to go downhill. The Saunders brothers died and left the whole operation to a less than qualified attorney. Population in 1920, 98. Then a fire destroyed the mill, and their one train on the Sawyer River Railroad fell into the river. And then there was a huge flood in 1927. That took out the railroad itself. Population in 1930, 23. And then, of course, there are the trees, the whole reason the town was built to begin with. In just a few decades, the loggers of Livermore cut most of the good stuff. Population in 1940, 4 souls. By 1950, the town was empty. A year later, it was disincorporated. Population in 1960, 0. In 1970, 1980, 1990, 0. In 2000, 3.
We have people all the time come up during the summer, and they're always curious of how we acquired Livermore, and I love telling the story on.
Turns out, if you research deed holders in Livermore, the name Shackford comes up. Betty and Bob Shackford. Bob passed away in 1992, and Betty, it turns out, died just this spring. When Bob bought the land in 1963, he got it at a discount. The lawyer selling the place wanted it to go to a North Country local. And despite offers from the Forest Service over the years, Bob never sold the place. So the land stayed in the family.
Sarah, do you like going up to Livermore, up to camp?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you like about going up to camp most?
When I finally tracked down the reigning Shackfords, they were happy to share the story of their camp by Sawyer's River. Just before you get to the ruins of Livermore, behind some trees, there's this little red cabin. It's a favorite vacation spot for the family. Apparently, it was built on the site where an original Livermore house once was, although that one was a 26-room mansion. This is Matt, Bob and Betty's grandson, the man who holds the key to this mystery, how the Livermore Three ended up on the 2000 census.
That was me. I walked up to the gentleman. He was asking if we lived there. I said I'd like to, and kind of as a joke, I threw it out that we lived there, and at least for the summer, and he said that. So, hopeful thinking, I think. I was wishing I could live up there for a year.
So that's the story. A census taker ran into Matt and his parents up at the old camp, and wishful thinking turned into official census data. None of the Shackfords are actually residents of Livermore, but their inheritance does mean a lot to them. And all of them agree, there's something still very much alive about Livermore.
I still feel it.
You really can.
You can feel the spirit of Livermore and town.
I gave Samer a call to let him know that I got to the bottom of his census question.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. So it is, it's kind of somewhat a clerical error, but it's an interesting journey to that clerical error. I thought for a second when you were talking about parcels of land, there's going to be some kind of origin for like a Stephen King novel or something. But the actual answer was also incredibly interesting too.
For Only in New Hampshire, I'm Hannah McCarthy.